You are about to hear a message preached at Church One on the Gold Coast. To find out more about Church One, visit us on the web at churchone.com.au. And be sure to subscribe to these podcasts so you don't miss out on any new messages as they are available.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, thank you, Jesus. I'll give a short word about the work, so to speak, and sort of the why of the work. Hallelujah. Basically, if you ever try to phone me, you will usually get my voicemail message because I'm frequently out of range that says I'm wandering in the wilderness. And, you know, I aspire to be like Moses. I'd like to lead, you know, 3 million people in my lifetime out of captivity. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so, Acts chapter 17 and starting at about verse 26 says this. And it says, "And God made all the different nations of men from one man, Adam. And he decided where they would live and when they would live there." Praise God. And he goes on to say, "So that men reaching out to God would find him." Amen. And, you know, we hear that on the seventh day God rested from his work of creation. But here it says he continued to create something. He continued to create the nations. Even specifically, some translations say the different nations. You know, a friend of mine posted on on Facebook the other day, you know, and he had just a photo of his white hand shaking a black hand and saying how color doesn't matter. But the truth is, color does matter because God made him. You know what I'm saying? Color matters. It's just not a problem. Hallelujah. Amen. You hear what I'm saying? You know, God made the nations because he has a purpose for the nations. Amen. He made Aboriginal people Aboriginal for a reason. And he made you for a reason. Amen. He made you who you are. Hallelujah. You were fearfully and wonderfully made in your mother's womb. Doesn't matter what the bloke sitting next to you thinks of how you were made. God said, amen, you were made fearfully and wonderfully. Hallelujah. Doesn't mean people are meant to be fearful of you. Anyway. Hallelujah. But here in Australia, amen, God, do you know, how long are we going to, you know, to stretch this thing out here? No. Oh, that's right. No, I'm not preaching yet, am I? No. Oh. You know, I think it's in the 1920s, Smith Wigglesworth came to Australia from England. And, I mean, he was primarily a healing evangelist. That was his deal. But he said that God sent him to Australia with a message, other than that God heals. And he said that message is that God has chosen Australia to start a revival that will go around the world and usher in the return of Jesus. Amen. That's exciting, isn't it? Amen. That's exciting. Hallelujah. But the whole idea seemed totally ridiculous. Australia had a white Australia policy. If you weren't a WASP, you weren't welcome. You know, maybe a few cattle ticks were allowed in as well, you know. But basically, if you weren't white, it was go home. And if you weren't white and you were already here, they were sending you home in another way. And so, to be honest, we had isolated ourselves as a people from planet Earth. You know, if you're doing that, you're not going to be connected to the rest of the world. You know, praise God. I mean, Ted's connected to planet Earth. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, because of who he is. Amen. Praise God. And many people in this room are connected to many parts of this planet because of who you are. And so when that prophecy came to Australia, Australia was the most culturally isolated country in the world. But today, since that word was spoken, since the impossible was spoken over Australia, you know, Australia is now the most multicultural nation in the world. Amen. So what God, it says here, he decided where they would live and when they would live there. He brought you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He brought us from around the world, me and my multicultural heritage, from Apache Indians through Jews, through English convicts, through Austrian Nazis, through to, you know, he brought the whole deal just in me, praise God. But he brought the nations to Australia because he wanted to connect us relationally to the planet so that when revival truly hits this country, it has to hit the world, amen. Praise God. It has to hit the world. But the reality is that God doesn't do anything by accident. He brought Aboriginal people here first. Amen? Firstness is always significant in God's plans and purposes. You know, Jesus preached from the book of First Things, Genesis, more than any other book in the Bible. The firstborn has a significance in the family that was unique. My brother was talking about how God is using indigenous people and raising them up for a unique role in the body of Christ. Some people think I don't like white people, you know. Because some of the people have never seen me hang out with any. But I honestly believe the best thing I can do for black, white, purple, green and spotted people, people with chicken pox, is to see indigenous people be able to take their place in the kingdom. Amen. See, because God placed them here first in Australia. There's a national revival that God is intending that to sweep this country, to sweep the planet. Amen. And it's not going to happen until Aboriginal people are taking their place. And that requires somebody to make disciples. Just humor me and say make disciples. Someone else say that once before. Oh, Jesus. So that's what I do. So for the last 27 years, actually when I was at school, I was already born again, but I was born again and confused. But while I was still confused, God gave me a dream and showed me Arnhem Land, which I thought was Africa. I used to tell people I was going to Africa. And then I was homeless in the streets of Darwin, and some Aboriginal people took me hunting, and I saw the places that I'd seen in the dream and went, these fellas are, yeah. Oh, I don't have to go to Africa. I'm here. And so for 27 years, I've been making disciples among Aboriginal Australians. And, amen, praise the Lord. And as a result of that, we now would see 30 plus churches, groups of Aboriginal people gathering across mostly North Australia, but we've actually started a couple in New South Wales in the last year, Tamworth and a group out at Moree. And so that's what we do, is we partner with Aboriginal people to see them reach their own people. Praise God. You know, did the didgeridoo add something to the worship? Yeah? Amen. Praise God. Well, that's just a hollow stick that Aboriginal people gave us. Amen. Hallelujah. Imagine what would happen if we added Aboriginal people to the church. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. And that's the desire of my heart, is to see the Church of Australia become that revival force that it's intended to be, to see you take your place in that revival force, praise God. But my little role is to see Aboriginal Australians take their place. Amen. So that we can all be together what God intends us to be.
Praise the Lord. Very good. Thanks, Carl. And exciting. And even when during the worship, just really sense, there's nothing that really connects you to Australia apart from our multiculturalism, and which we all know for, is going back to know that God wants this nation revived. Amen? Amen? God wants that for every tribe and every tongue that is in this nation revived. And what I love about our church is that the incredible variety of nationalities that we have. And we want Aboriginal people coming to our church. Amen? And we're going to share in what God has placed in them. So just note that being Mission Sunday, let's just really focus. Also, this Christmas time, we are looking to send $2,000 to the Christmas orphanage program in Nepal. over the next couple of weeks. If you'd like to think about giving towards that, we'll have some envelopes ready for you as well in that area there. So we're sending $2,000 there just to help them out, especially through the time after the earthquake. Nepal is still completely devastated. You know, we may have forgotten, the news may not be telling us anything, but they're still suffering to this day, being homeless and not being able to go back to their homes or schools. And so our work there in Nepal needs some help, especially during this Christmas period. We normally send something, so please note that over the next couple of weeks, we'll have some envelopes ready for you as well. Amen? Bless the Lord. Well, Carl hasn't even started preaching it. He will in a few moments, and then he'll get excited, right? And so you're in for a real treat. He always told some great stories, but even more so with his biblical knowledge. I really regard, Carl, that you're a real apostle among our Aboriginal people. You know, from the stories that you and I talk over the years, it's very, very clear. I know you don't like labels, but it's clear to me that you operate in that level among the indigenous peoples. So what I want to do, I want to give Carl just a full time to be able to minister and speak God's word over the church and over your lives. So I want to just receive a love offering towards his ministry, to the indigenous work that he's doing there. So if you could just the ushers ready, please, and let's just do that right now, and so that he can just have full freedom to just preach this morning and share and minister. And if you could just ready yourself, if you need an envelope for your giving towards this work, please raise your hand and the ushers will come in and get an envelope to you. Amen. Just keep your hands up until someone gets an envelope to you. Just a few hands around there. Just if you could just pass envelopes around to those who's got their hands up, that'll be great, because you know, they need financial support out there. Your car just broke. Is your car fixed now? It's not. It's still in the garage. It's getting fixed. It's in a shed on a farm. Okay, so, you know, these guys just live in faith out there. So if you could just be generous towards this, that would be great. Amen? So let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you. And we bless you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, that this day you have made so that we can, Father God, connect to what you want to do in our nation, in our land. So I pray your blessing upon each one, upon this gift, in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody said, amen, amen. Carl, I'm going to give it back to you, and you can just, you know, start to share a little bit from your heart this morning.
Thank you. I probably didn't have the microphone turned on before, but it probably didn't matter. Now, some people think that I'm fat from overeating, but the truth is I swallowed an amplifier as a child. Amen. Now, sometimes the microphones find me a bit overwhelming, let alone the poor people. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. You know, when I, you know, first started going to church, you know, having been born again and stuff for a long time, one of the reasons I was confused was because I didn't go to church. I didn't have any teaching or mentoring or into my life, and it was partly because my parents wouldn't let me go to church, you know. And I mean, part of that was my mother's health, but I started to go to a church in Darwin that was a really full-on Pentecostal church. I mean, you have chandeliers here, you know, and by now those fellas would, you know, we'd have one on every corner, you know, by this point in the meeting. They were the full-on chandelier swinging penties, I tell you. And it was just amazing to be in some of the meetings. And they had these great evangelists who came. You know, and I was sure that lightning bolts came out from under their fingernails, you know. They were just so anointed and so powerful. You know what the result of that was for me? Now, I'd had this dream in which God had shown me that I was going to be a missionary. And I'm trying to figure out how that was going to work out. I was doing my best to prepare. But I was intimidated by the men of God that I saw. I mean, I can't do what they can do. These fellas are just absolutely overwhelmingly amazing, and I'm not all that amazing. How am I going to do what it is that God has called me to do? And this message is maybe for you. Maybe if you have felt that God is calling you to do something that you think is punching above your weight. You hear what I'm saying? You're going, God's called me to do some stuff, but I can't do it. I want to start with Genesis. Exodus. Hallelujah. Only one I didn't put a ribbon into or a piece out of McDonald's wrap for breakfast. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. In Exodus chapter 3 and starting at verse 7. Hallelujah. And the Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt, and I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them. Note this bit. I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Hallelujah. So now go, it says in verse 10. I am sending you. Praise God. I've heard words like that before. Remember those words of Jesus you quoted before? Go into all the world and make disciples, amen, of all nations. Praise God. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Teaching them to obey. The hallelujah I had. Teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. For lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. So Moses and you, hallelujah, have something in common. God has told us all to go. Amen. So at this point, if you need to move quietly back to your cars, no, okay, if you're not ready to go yet, you can maybe wait till the end of the message. All right, praise God. Hallelujah. Yeah, the love offering's all been taken up, so you can go any time. Hallelujah. I'm a missionary, remember? Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So now go. I am sending you. Can you hear the voice of God rattling around inside your spirit when you hear those words, so go, now I'm sending you? Can you hear God saying that to you? Amen? Now go, now I'm sending you. Well, Moses, I love, in the Hebrew doesn't have punctuation, so I can put the punctuation anywhere I like. You know, that's the standard translation principle. Verse 11, but Moses said to God, I tell you, there's a lot of Christians with buts. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. And they're still sitting on them. Anyway, and Moses said, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? You know, really we need to get a bit of an idea of who we are, amen, praise God, that we are the sons of God, hallelujah. That we are ambassadors of God, hallelujah. And if we're ambassadors, praise God, ambassadors don't stay where they were, amen. Ambassadors are sent on a mission to represent a kingdom, praise God. To represent a people, a peculiar people, but a people, praise God. We are that peculiar people that God has sent with a mission. And so basically the rest of chapter 3 is Moses listing excuses to God as to why he can't do what God told him to do. Now, God didn't actually tell him to deliver the people of Egypt. He said, I have come down. Just go announce that I, go proclaim that I'm here to deliver them. Amen? He didn't tell Moses to beat up Pharaoh himself, even though it was his little brother, I think. You know, he didn't, you know, which is what all big brothers love to do. You know, he said, I would come and do it. He said, I would be with you. He even said, and I know that your bro going to argue with you and going to not want to do what you say, but I'm going to make him. by my hand and my power. Hallelujah. You know, that's the same promise he gives to us. Amen. Hallelujah. He's not expecting you to deliver anybody. Hallelujah. He's simply expecting you to proclaim the word. Hallelujah. That God has come down and he is here to set people free. He's here to set them free. Amen. The people you know and love. Hallelujah. Even the neighbors you don't like much. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It'll just work better if you love them. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So, what did God say to Moses? God said to Moses, what is in chapter 4 and verse 2, and the Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? What is that in your hand? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You know, when Jesus first started to preach, you know, it says that he began to preach. This actually was his life message. Praise God, in Matthew chapter 4, and I think it's 16:17, and he says, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand or within your reach. He didn't say it's something that if you know, there's the stairway to heaven, you know, or there's the 17 steps to the anointing. He didn't come with he said, the kingdom of God, his power, his authority, his blessing is within your reach. Amen. Praise God. It is at hand. God is saying to you, that what you need to do to be starting to obey the call of God on your life is in your hand now. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Just while you're here right now, I just want you to say, close your eyes, and I just want to say this to the Father. Yes, Father. Yes, Father. Come on. Say it like you mean it. Yes, Father. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Fred means it. Praise God. I can hear that. Amen. Praise God. The old mate. People come from interstate. Praise God. Fred and Carol, you know, to hear the message this morning. Praise God. Must be important. Hallelujah. What have you got in your hand? Hallelujah. You know, it's interesting that what God had put in Moses' hand was not a certificate from Bible college. What God had put in Moses' hand was a stick. But more than just a stick, it was also the tool of his trade. Amen? You know, God had taken him from his high and lofty position, in which he possibly knew nothing, and stuck him out in the bush looking after sheep for 40 years. And the tool of his trade was the shepherd's staff. You know, what God wants to use is the things that he's put in your hand from your life. Amen. You know, Romans 8 verse 28, is that where it says, and God works all things together for the good, for those who love God and are called to his purposes? You may think that you've been a complete numbskull and really stuffed up your life. Well, the truth is, that could be the truth. But Jesus loves us numbskulls. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. And God can take every dumb thing we've ever done, hallelujah, and help somebody learn they don't have to be that dumb. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. They could find out what the Bible says before they do it. Amen. Hallelujah. And find out that there's forgiveness for those who've also done it. Amen. Because you're living in that grace. You're living in that forgiveness. And all the stuff that you've learnt from your life, and even some of the good things you've done in your life. Amen. Hallelujah. God has put them in your hands. Amen. You know, I get people who want to come on mission trips. People who have been mechanics and builders and computer operators, and then they want to come into the wilderness and they want to be evangelists, you know, and signs and wonder preachers. Well, that's okay if that's what God's called them to do. But what God actually put in their hands was a toolkit, hallelujah, that could fix my motor cars, screwdrivers and analytical tools that could fix my computers, praise God, hallelujah, hammers and nails that could stop the roof leaking on the computer that would mean it didn't need to be fixed as often, hallelujah, praise God. You know, we need to, you don't need, it's, so it's not just about the Bible College certificate, no matter who you are. This word of what has he put in your hand is where you need to start serving from. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Who's heard of the carrot and the stick. Okay, that means some churches, they only ever get carrots. You come and you preach to them all glowing orange. They can see in the dark, but they're glowing orange. Amen. But God's put both the carrot and the stick in the Bible. Okay, hallelujah. Let's turn to the McDonald's wrapper strip. Matthew chapter 25. Hallelujah. And verse 18. Hallelujah. And the man who'd received the one talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. Let's jump down to verse 24. And then the man who had received the one talent came. Verse 25. I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. You know, a lot of people have a call of God in their life, but they have their excuses because they're afraid to step out and do what it is that God has told you to do. Let us look at the rest of this little passage, and I want to tell you, you have a lot more to be afraid of not doing what God has called you to do, not using the talent that God has given you. And his master replied, now, you never want to hear these words from God, okay? You wicked, lazy servant. Verse 27, you should have put your money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. How about verse 30? And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, God would probably say that with a more compassionate voice than that. But there's carrots and sticks in the Bible. Hallelujah. In fact, I've even been told that there is actually such a thing as carotene poisoning for people who eat too many carrots. Okay. Hallelujah. You know, you can't always be positive. People who like to be positive all the time, I'd say, please let me snap the negative terminal off the battery of your car, and you will find your car from this point on will only go downhill. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so, I want to say, you have a lot more to be frightened of not using the talent that God has given you. Now, God told me very specifically, he showed me Arnhem Land. He showed me remote area Aboriginal communities. And so it wasn't all that complicated for me to figure out where I was supposed to be. Okay. Think, you know, people would say I'm a man living the dream. Hallelujah. But some people, what God has called you to do, you know, isn't necessarily to head off into the wilderness somewhere. And it may not even be head very far from where you live right now. In fact, I'd gotten a lift out to Arnhem Land from being homeless. On the streets of Darwin, well, the same people gave me a lift back to the building I was sleeping under after I'd been hunting with them. And so I started under the building with the other homeless people, praise God. That's where I started the ministry, because I understood that this is the people that God had called me to, and God had brought me where he wanted me to be now, and I was to start where I was. So I just started serving the other homeless people. You know, what was really funny is, because God had, I'd actually gotten an audible voice, if you don't leave now, you never will. I was living in Brisbane. And now was a fairly immediate word. And so I gave away my business, gave away my car. And, well, I got the bloke I gave the car to, I said, drive me half a field chunk north and I'll hitch from here. And I couldn't get any kind of a benefit because I'd quit my job. And, you know, I found that half the Aboriginal people sleeping under the buildings actually qualified for some kind of benefit, but they just didn't know how to fill out the forms. This is before there were Aboriginal liaison officers. So, as a fellow born-again homeless person, I'm in Centrelink every day with the Aboriginal people under the buildings with me, helping them fill out forms so that they could get assistance. It's getting more lonely under that building because, you know, they were affording houses. Hallelujah. But, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, you've got to start where you are. Amen. Maybe you, and I like to this, it's interesting. The bloke who was given the single talent, he's the bloke who felt he had nothing to give. But God held the bloke with the single talent just as accountable as he did to the bloke with the five talents. Yeah. You hearing what I'm saying? You're just accountable for what God has given you. Amen. And there wasn't anyone in the story that got no talents. Hello. And there ain't anybody in this room who got no talents either. Amen. We are all accountable for what we are able to do. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. And he says, you should have put your money in the bank where it would have been returned to me with interest. Well, what's the bank? I believe the bank is the church. Amen. Hallelujah. And now, yes, God would like you to put your money in the church, but I don't think that it's an accident of the Bible that that term for money is also the term for talent. You know, it also represents every area of giftedness and resource that you have. Time, skills, ability, praise God, as well as the money. You know, I noticed that a lot of things, when people answer altar calls, they quickly take their wallet out and they leave it on the seat and they give their life to Jesus. And then they pick it up, put it back in after. No. But they do the same thing with their toolbox. You know, I think if anybody here want to give their heart to the Lord today and they have a trade, I want you to go out to your car, get your tools and bring it to the altar when you give your heart to Jesus. Amen. God wants you to use all that you have. Amen. Every skill that you have. Hallelujah. The bank is a place where a whole bunch of people put their money together so that it can achieve more together than what it could have achieved on its own. Amen. Hallelujah. The church is a place. And I don't mean just this church, I mean the kingdom, amen. I mean the body of Christ is a place where you come together as the family of God, amen. But we can invest our talents and gifts and abilities in one another, amen. So that together we can achieve far more than we could have achieved on our own, amen. Hallelujah. See, one of the reasons that missionaries pop out of the wilderness from time to time and visit is because we're part of the church that you can't see all the time, amen. We're part of your church, amen, because there is only one, hallelujah, praise God. And it's in partnership with you, praise God, that enables us to do what we do, hallelujah. I'm just, the finger of God, hallelujah, where I am, amen, praise God. But this... I once cut the tendons on my arms, amen. And I want to tell you, your fingers can't do anything anymore when they become disconnected from the rest of the arm. The tendons are there, amen. I believe they represent the relationship, amen. Praise God, that we're meant to have with the body of Christ. Hallelujah. I'm totally dependent on the body of Christ to do what God has called me to do. You know, Moses, one of the things that God said to Moses is, Moses, stop telling me you don't have what you need. I've actually already sent your family to help you. Amen. Hallelujah. And God's placed you in a family. Amen. To enable you to fulfill the call of God on your life. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. I'm seeing that I'm going to need to reduce the number of points to this message. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You know, I even after that experience, I mean, I think one reason that some people get audible voices, dreams and visions and stuff like that is not because they're exceptionally spiritual, it's because they're exceptionally thick. I had one child, all I had to do was, give her a little tap and, correct her and she would do what, but then I had the other child. Stop it now! Put that down! Don't light the house on fire! No! Stop it! I said stop! Come back! Get off the highway! And so, the reason that one child required yelling at and the other didn't so much was because one child was more rebellious. So anyway, having said that, even after having audible voices, dreams and visions, God showing me where I'm meant to be and what I'm meant to be doing, I managed to settle back into church life warming my patch of upholstered pew. You know, occasionally putting some money in, you know, go to work, put money in the offering, sing, take my part and, you know, do something in the church. That sort of settled down. And managed to get intimidated by the call of God on my life still. I remember sitting on a bus. I was just on a bus trip, and I'm just going, God, I know that you want me to do this stuff, but I'm just not anointed enough. I'm just not anointed enough. You know, people who know me basically say, I'm still not anointed enough. Hallelujah. Why don't you turn to, I think it's 1 Kings. I've just got a few scratchings on the inside of my Bible cover, and even I can't entirely interpret them, so hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, I think this is, yeah, praise God. 1 Kings. Thank you, Lord. Here we have Elijah. We're starting at verse 7. Sometime later, the brook dried up, and because there had been no rain in the land, and the word of the Lord came to him, go to Zarephath of Sidon and stay there. I have commanded a widow in that place to supply you with food. So he went to Zarephath. Hallelujah. Anyway, and he, well, I may as well just read it. And when he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called her and asked, would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink? As she was going to get it, he called, oh, and bring me a piece of bread too. Hallelujah. You know, it's like a missionary turning up out of the wilderness. You know, he's obviously well-fed, you know, and they're all starving. You know, and this well-fed, fat, grey-haired fella comes and starts asking, you know, for the widow who's starving with her kid to give him something. Anyway, there are some parallels. And surely, as the Lord your God lives, she replied, I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar. And a little oil in a jug. And I'm gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son that we may eat it and die. Hallelujah. You know what God said to me? So this passage is very significant to me. And there's a similar story in 2 Kings with Elisha. Elijah said to her, don't be afraid. Go home and do as you said, but first make a small cake of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me, and then make something for yourself and for your son. Hallelujah. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Father. You know, God said to me, okay, Carl, maybe you aren't all that anointed. And the flour to me speaks to of the Word of God. Maybe you don't know all that much of the Bible. But he said, I just want you to share what you got. Amen. Hallelujah. And I want you to put my work first. Amen. Now, can I say that there are all sorts of very valid responsibilities that are in your life, and they will be screaming, put me first. But God's saying, put me first. Amen. It's possibly a little bit of a difference between put the ministry first and put God first. You hearing what I'm saying? Elijah was representing God to the world at that point as his prophet. And so when he was saying, put me first, he was pretty much saying, put God first. Amen? God's plan and purpose for your life first. My friends, you are on this planet because God needs ambassadors. Amen? Because he sent a son into the world, Jesus. But Jesus returned so that he could send his many sons, amen, and daughters, which are you, praise God, into the world. Because the world needed more than one set of hands and feet and mouths, amen. Hallelujah. Jesus could not have done, hallelujah, if he had just remained on earth, what he has called the church to do, amen. Hallelujah. That's why he said that he's given greater works for the church to do. Because the church can do more than Jesus could have done on his own. He would have just done it. Amen. He had to come as a man, but as a man he was limited. But as the church, we aren't. Praise God. we can do all that God intends for the church to do. Because actually, if you read the end, we get the job done. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's the praise God. We can jump to the end and see the happy ending. But we're not there yet. Hallelujah. Praise God. The oil never ran out. Amen. And the flour never ran out. Can I just say, I have found, I may not have gotten all much more anointed than I was that day at the age of 19 sitting on a bus on my way to Adelaide. But I found that that jar of oil hasn't run out. Amen. That I've continued to pray for people. Hallelujah. And the anointing that they needed, praise God, was there. Amen. People that I've trained have raised people from the dead. Amen. Hallelujah. So we've obviously seen some people get some anointing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, we've started somewhere between 30 and 40 churches. The reason I don't know is because guys are telling me that they planted churches that I actually can't find yet. The one community, I'm on my way to the community, and I'm following this track, and, well, it was worrying me because I didn't see any other tire tracks. Or like the only tracks I could see on the track were buffalo prints and dingo prints. No vehicles had been down this track, you know, since the last flood. I don't mean Noah's. I mean... Then a little bit further, I finally saw vehicle tracks. They were tractor tyres. That's not all that exciting when you're only driving a 1985 60 Series Cruiser. No, hang on, it was a 1968 Land Rover. And so, five boggings later, and losing the track and turning up at a different community because I drove around a tree and ended up somewhere else, I finally found that community. And now they've gone and planted churches and communities that I can't find. So somewhere between 30 and 40 churches. But it's simply because I've been willing to pour out the oil that I've got. Amen. The second king's story is almost the same. All she had was a little oil in a jar. And she was commanded to go and find empty jars. You may think you only got a little bit of anointing. They're people who got none because they haven't got the Spirit of God living inside of them, amen. But you do. They need what you have got, amen. They might not think they need it, but they need what you have got. Early in the message, I asked you to say yes to the Father, amen. I just believe that the church is full, not necessarily this church, but there'd be some here who God has been speaking to. And like the fellow who buried his talent, he said, but I was afraid. You have a lot more to be afraid of not using the talent that God has given you. Amen. And you have everything to gain. Amen. Hallelujah. Because I want to tell you, I am so glad that, amen, that, and you know, what actually launched me into the ministry of actually doing what God had called me to do was not the dream and the vision, was not the audible voice. It was reading a passage in the Bible that showed me that the little bit that I had was enough. Amen? The little bit that I had was enough. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Today, I want you to receive that same passage, amen, that spoke to my heart. Just the Bible, amen, hallelujah, that tells you that you have an anointing from the Holy One and God wants to use you. Amen. If Jesus said, repent, because the kingdom of God, his power, anointing, his authority is available to you and it's in your hand. Maybe you've never even given your life to Jesus. And you want to do that today. Say yes to Jesus. Jesus, I don't know what it is you want me to do, but I know you want me to start by giving myself to you. Amen. I tell you, that's where you've got to start. It's where I started. It's where everyone in this room who knows Jesus started. Amen. If you want to give your life to Jesus, I would love to pray with you. But there's another kind of person I would also love to pray with. The person who is saying yes, amen, to the call of God in their life. Who is willing to take what God has put in their hand. Amen. Amen. Maybe you've been holding back. You've been a bit frightened. There's something that's been, that you know that God wants you to do, and you've hesitated. God wants to release you into that today. Amen. To use what God has already given you. Maybe you've got to just invest it in the bank here. Amen. Hallelujah. Into this house. Or maybe God's telling you to do something else. But God wants you to say yes to Him today, and I'd be happy to pray with you. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So if you want to respond in any way, I might just sing a song, and by the time I'm finished the song, you know, maybe it'd be nice to have somebody to pray for.
You have just listened to a message preached at Church One on the Gold Coast. To find out more about Church One, visit us on the web at churchone.com.au. And be sure to subscribe to these podcasts so you don't miss out on any new messages as they are available.